Jam! Hello and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. At least, if it's half as fun-filled as the odds and ends have been thus far, then we'll be good.
Not gonna lie, we've been looking at internet pictures and we're laughing a lot.
We're laughing a lot. I already almost died three times. This is Monday Night Magic number 546, here for the end of January, just before the Pro Tour 2017. Where is the Pro Tour this time? I keep hearing it being called, I miss the days when they were called Pro Tour Place. Now it's Pro Tour.
Oh, because now they call them by set?
Yeah.
Is this Dublin? Is that this one? Or is that the next one?
It is in Dublin.
Ah, okay, cool. Oh, wish I could go to that one. I've always wanted to go to Dublin. And I don't even
drink. We can drive there, dude. We just have to hit the water real fast.
Isn't that weird? Anyway. All right, trying not to die. So I am Chewy.
Don't die. One rule.
And that is the first rule. And yeah, with me as always, or at least as most of the time, are everyone's favorite bow tie wearing, curmudgeonly sort of judge, Clues.
Hey, and 456 is not a U.S. area code, but it is reserved for international inbound calls.
What about 546?
Oh, yep, you're right. I better check 546. I'm sorry. I didn't scroll down far enough. Crap. 546. It is unassigned.
Woohoo!
You might be able to get it if you somehow know how to do that.
Yeah. If you're thinking of becoming a, I guess, municipality that needs its own area code, consider 546.
Nice. And also joining us, as you've already heard, is everyone's favorite, oh, let's see here, diva playing no eye and goblin having Squee.
I don't know if that was supposed to be like calling me out in a playground rap battle or what, but okay, I'll go with that.
Yes.
Also Clues.
Yeah.
My current diva spray is a can of salt.
Yeah.
Dedicated to you.
Excellent.
I use that one as well.
I like it a lot.
Do you really?
No, I really do. Yeah.
Excellent.
Delicious.
Although can I go back to area codes for just 1 second? Because I saw something in this area code table that is scaring me.
Okay.
Yeah. If you get a call from 557, that's both from Missouri and from the future, because it's clearly labeled right here, future area code for Missouri.
Oh, well, I mean, what are the futures calling to warn us? We can't ignore that.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious we did not heed the warnings already, but that's okay.
All right, then.
I wanna live.
So we have to start out this episode with an update.
Mea culpa?
We have to ask for reparations. Offer reparations?
Set right what once went wrong.
What he said. We have to fix it. We've made a boo-boo, and it's all Bill's fault. Damn it, Squee.
Completely.
Technically,
and by my fault, I mean Star City's fault, exactly. Because they're not here now, so ha. But yeah, last week when I was giving the numbers for the modern classic, so just to give you some background, when I pull these numbers, like the Wizards website for GPs and the like will tell you so-and-so many people, usually on the day one listing. Star City doesn't do that. You have to go to the results or the pairings or something like that to see it. So last week I pulled up the results list for Modern Classic at Columbia, and I scrolled down to the bottom. It said 140, so that's the number I dropped in. Had I paid a little closer attention, I would have seen that 140th place person had 9 points. Which means that for whatever reason, they just cut off the list at 140. Like maybe that's all the people that were still in and everyone else dropped. I don't know. Normally the results go all the way down to people that are like 0-6 or whatever because they're testing out a new deck made out of Kool-Aid packets. I don't know. But whatever the case, it clipped there. So that was incorrect. The actual correct number of people in the Columbia Modern Classic was 234, as was pointed out to us directly on Twitter. By the, what was it, the judge of that event?
Yeah, the head judge of the
head judge of that event.
The Modern Classic. He also showed up in my Twitch stream on Tuesday to yell at us.
I'm pretty sure he also etched the number into Chewie's car.
I was wondering what that meant.
Yep.
Yeah, you thought it was a gang number, but no, it was just magic. Judges are weird.
I hope you weren't expecting me to jump in there and say
no.
That wasn't true, because
no,
seemed accurate to me.
Oh yeah, and we don't have we don't have a Lansdell or anybody around to that might. So sweet. All right.
Yeah, he's off doing some kind of initiation. Wonder what that is. Judges are weird. Okay, so now that that's sorted out, this week I will be giving you more numbers when we get to that.
That may or may not be accurate.
I checked this time.
You checked last time.
Yeah, but I checked the points that the person at the bottom had this time.
Oh, okay, got
now
it.
I'm aware that they make that mistake, because I don't think it's happened before. So now I'm double-checking their score. And if they have 0 points, then I'm counting that as the bottom.
Sweet. Okay, then. So the first bit of news that's not a whoops, we done messed up. Excuse me, I appear to be like dying or something.
No dying. We talked about this.
Sorry, yes, there's one rule. Technically, there are two rules. No dying, and then Wheaton's Law is the second rule. But
and the third rule is that there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Is that a rule?
I think it is, yeah.
It's more of a guideline.
Well,
hey, look, what did we just say?
Chewie has to edit now.
Oh, crap.
You did that to yourself, buddy.
Oh, reap what you sow.
Okay, so like I said, the first bit of news that's not we done screwed up is the Pro Tour Team Series rosters have been revealed. Yeah, there are 30.
Boy, howdy.
Yeah, there are 32 teams set up for Pro Tours this year. Now, remember,
that's a convenient number.
It is, isn't it? I think that is just a convenient number, though, right?
I don't believe they were cutting them off for any reason.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, so we're not going to tell you who's on all of the teams, because we don't have all damn night.
No.
We spent too long laughing at internet pictures.
No regrets.
None whatsoever.
So as a brief reminder, players... Well, their teams are composed of 6 players, and they have to compete as a team for the 2017 season. And I have hiccups. The pro points earned by the best 5 finishes from the members of each team are added up at the end of the Pro Tour, and that total is added to the team score. Wait, what? Pro points earned by the best 5 finishes, okay, from the team members of each team are added up, and that total is added to a team score. Is that the entire team score, or is there something else and that's added to it?
No, I'm pretty sure that is the team score. It's just, it's worded awkwardly.
Worded funnily? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the teams with the top 2 scores will,
I'm sure it's worded that way in order to make it work with some corner case in the rules. See, cause it's Wizards. This has been a templating joke.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah,
it's not going to work on Magic Online, though.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, anyway, so the teams with the top 2 scores at the end of the 2016-17 season, which concludes with Pro Tour Hour of Devastation in July, because reasons, will be invited to compete in the team finals, which will take place in October during the Magic the Gathering World Championship in Boston. So
Baston?
There you go. Baston. Bastard. Oh wait, no. That one's fine. So yeah, this doesn't change, in theory, anything about the Pro Tour itself. The Pro Tour is still individuals, but this just adds another layer. We talked about this at length, was it Schofield on that episode? I think it was.
Sounds I believe right. It was.
Yeah. So yeah, but we have 32 teams here and these teams are pretty impressive.
A touch, yes.
I mean, considering that the way that you win is to have a team of people that are all, you know, pulling in pro points, it's not that surprising that they're really impressive, but it's still interesting to see them get together and sort of like a, and here are, you know, the top, what, 32 times 6 players of the world for the most part?
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's cool.
I'm confused though. It says that there are 3 Dex Protection sponsored teams, but there are only 2 with Dex in the name, and the name Dex doesn't appear anywhere else. When I control F it, it's just on those 2. That's weird. Quick, somebody do a count. Are there 32 teams on this list? Or did they miss one?
Crap. Okay, hold on.
Numbers.
31-32. No, no, that's right. Okay, well. How odd that they pointed out the sponsor for two of them, but not the third one. Hmm. But anyway, they have some great names, like Conflagrease.
That one's awesome.
That is pretty great. Some of them are a little, you know, face-to-face games. Oh. It's team face-to-face.
Who sponsors them?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
But yeah. The Face Union.
Oh, that's probably right. Yeah. East-West Bowl has turned into multiple teams. Channel Fireball has two. Yeah, yeah. It's impressive. Some of these are just supremely stacked. Some of them slightly less so, but they're regionally stacked. So, yeah. It's awesome. If you have any interest at all in knowing who's on what team, you should totally go check it out. This will be a thing in coverage throughout, well, for the rest of, until they decide that they're not going to do it anymore.
Well, this, unless there's a legacy event and then it won't be covered at all.
Correct. Yes.
Because they're not going to do it anymore?
Sorry, I found some more salt lying around. My apologies.
I hope you brought enough for everyone. Oh, you did. Okay, cool.
I did. Yes.
Anyway, but yeah, this adds another element of watchability and people to root for and all of that sort of thing to the Pro Tour coverage, which can only help, you know? But like I said, we talked about that at much greater length on the episode when all of this was finally announced. So there you go. If you want to see this link to this, and of course everything that we talk about is in the show notes, go check it out. Why did I just hear a bling? Dang it, computer. My listeners heard that too. I know you guys didn't. So okay, that's that. Now we need to talk about the Grand Prix because they were limited, so that won't take long.
Yeah.
So let's see. Grand Prix San Jose. San Jose. That's in Brazil, right? Was it that funny?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't expect that.
Just caught you right off guard.
Huh? Sure. Yes. Let's roll with that.
Yeah. But anyway, as everyone knows, San Jose is actually in New Mexico. It's not in,
Are you thinking of San Jose?
I'm trying to break clues again. But he resisted that one.
But see, that's where I thought you were going to go the first time, was that you were just going to pick random state in the Southwest and just go with it.
Yeah,
but
San Jose, Maryland. England. Yeah.
Oh, now I got to find all the San Jose's in the U.S.
That probably won't take long.
You have an interesting compulsion there, Clues.
That is a little weird.
You think this is the only one? That's the funny part.
No, that's just an interesting compulsion.
It's the current one. Anyway, all so, right. GP San Jose, which is here in North Carolina, had 1,908 players, which is not a small number.
No, and yet they pushed it as almost 2,000. I'm like, you guys are rounding a little bit.
That's a little much, yeah. They should have said over 1,900. This was Kaladesh Aether Revolt Limited, so not much to talk about on our end other than who won. And
play the good cards.
Yeah, play the good cards. Draft the good cards, play the good cards.
Win with the good cards.
Get lucky, don't get mana screwed, you know, that sort of thing. John Asbach won. And then in second we have Ari Hausman Cohen. Third was Roberto Berni. Fourth was Avinash I did not look at any of these names ahead of time.
Pernankil?
Hang on, I lost it. Here we go. Avinash Pernankil. We'll go with that. Jachin Tao. Anand Kare? Kare? Adam Ragsdale. And then Richard Tan in eighth.
Go team.
Go. No, they're not teams. They're
But they're all wearing blue. They're all wearing hoodies. It's a cult.
Oh, wow. That's kind of eerie, actually.
Maybe they're judges.
Me, 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 me. Oh, no, wait. No, two of those aren't hoodies. Okay, we're good.
Oh, okay. We're fine then. We're fine.
Phew. That was close.
Dodged a bullet there.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have had to dodge a fire.
Well, I mean, you would have. You went to GP, you know, San Jose.
Yes.
Which was in Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
The city only has a population of 642 people, but still.
Well, other people travel there for GPs, Clues.
To put the GP. They're basically in the middle of Illinois.
They really crowded, like, the downtown Hilton, too.
I don't even know if there is a downtown Hilton in San Jose.
I don't know if there's a downtown, but here we are.
Well, let's go to the maps.
At least it wasn't in Ohio, because that's a state with
four letters. State. Nah.
Mm-mm. That's right.
No.
Anyway. But yeah, GP Prague is the other GP that happened this week.
Also limited.
Also in Brazil.
Also in Brazil.
You know, it's Prague, Brazil.
Weird. It's very weird that they had two GPs in Brazil. But no.
They were poaching from each other. It was rough. Some of those people had to come all the way from Illinois.
But no, I actually, no, Prague I know. Prague is in the Czech Republic for realsies and serious. And it was a GP of 2005 players, making it the Czech Republic's largest Magic tournament to date. So, go get them. Okay, good. No follow-up on that. Could be good. There was a small problem with GP Prague, though.
Was it small. Flammable?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Or small. Inflammable?
Yes, it turns out, is the answer to that.
Oh, so Jack was there. I get you.
Yeah. No.
You mean Jack's card shop wasn't sponsoring this event?
Okay, now you're getting a little weird.
It's a bit dated now. Yeah, that was like four or five years ago. Fair enough. Ask your Jack.
But yeah, so GP Prague, the venue, there was a fire at the catering section or catering area. It just says due to a fire at the catering.
It's on fire!
Yeah, and it was the shoes. But they were forced to evacuate the venue. No one was hurt. Well, it says no players or event staff got injured. They didn't say anything about any of the other people that work there, so that's a small problem. But it says the main event hall cannot be used anymore as there's too much damage. All events for Friday, this happened on Friday, were canceled. But they got approval from the fire brigade and the police to host the main event at a different place on Saturday, and everything went as far as I can tell, everything went off without a hitch. Other than, you know, a giant fire that had to relocate the whole event.
I mean, kudos on bouncing back from that. That is obviously not something you planned for.
Yeah, right?
So you guys didn't see the video then?
There was video?
Oh, yeah. Here, hold on. There's a Reddit thread I just posted you to our chat there, and there's a link to a YouTube video in it.
All right.
All right. Well, I will add that to the...
Oh!
Yeah.
To the thing.
Wow, that happened.
Holy crap.
So it looks like it was in like the food vendor area, and it looks like a wok restaurant called Wok a Noodle is what burst into flames. And boy, howdy did it.
Hey, that was a magic judge that just walked past looking like there wasn't a fire right there. He's like, I'm a judge. I put out fires all the time. This ain't nothing.
Yeah. Now, Clues, you know that burning limited GPs doesn't get you a legacy GP, right?
Hey, look, I had nothing to do with that. I was nowhere near it. I am a red mage, but that was not my handiwork. That fire was way too small.
Fair enough. I believe that, but only because you're modest.
Damn.
Well, yeah, that's a problem.
Okay, so, yeah, like I said, a link to that video will actually be in the show notes as soon as I can find the tab that has the show notes. There it is.
Also, what appears to be the top-rated comment on this thread. See, people are always double-sleeving cards to avoid water, but nobody considers fire.
That's pretty good.
So, red deck wins?
I don't know. Let's see. Who did wins?
Limited.
Limited.
I'm just saying, your opponent's cards are flammable. Red decks should always win.
Oh, no. This is San Jose. Hang on. We're not in Illinois anymore. We're in Brazil. Here we go. Okay. GP Prague was won by Yusuf Kamal Vefa. We're going to go with that. Second place was some guy you've never heard of. Paulo Vitor Damo da Rosa.
He has way too many names for me to remember. I'm going to call him PV.
Yeah, we'll just shorten that to PV. Yeah. Wait, we had a guy named PV on this show once a long time ago, I think.
Yeah, that's why I went with it. I don't learn more names.
Oh, there we go.
That's why I went with Steve. Except for PV.
Except for PV, yeah. Good lord. Fabian Friedrich is in third. How do you say that? Rope? Hang on. Let's see.
We promise we don't know and we're not making fun of you.
Yeah, we just literally don't know.
Oh, I was hoping I could find it somewhere in a different font that would have accents if there were any there, but it looks like I don't. So we're going to call him Rupa Metsa, let's say. Sorry.
Sure.
Fifth place was Christopher Larsen. Fourth place was Ivan Flock. Heard of him. Seventh place was Florian Koch. Koch? I think that's how I've heard Rittagen pronounce it. And Fabrizio Campanino in eighth. Again, it's limited, so there's not terribly much to talk about. In fact, we're now done. So there you go. How many people were there? Did I say that? 2005? I did say that. Sweet. Okay, then. So let's move on to this here new standard we've got going on here, which I really hope the Pro Tour does something about already, but hopefully it will because it's the Pro Tour. And there's nothing like getting together teams of people that do this for a living to really shake up a metagame. But at the StarCityGames.com... Nope, that's the classic. Where... Here's the open. Why did I have... Okay.
Is it while you were fighting the tabs and the video?
Must have. Okay, how many people were in this thing? And there were 426 people. Where was this? Richmond. 426 people at the open.
Do you think they got a Star City in Richmond?
No.
Yeah, I don't know why they would. You're right.
What? I'm very confused. Wait, Star City's in Roanoke, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Which is in Brazil, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's in California. We were just over this.
California, Brazil. I know.
Oh, Brazil, California, he means. Yeah,
it's
okay.
Look, it's in Peru, Indiana, okay? Which is a real place.
Yes, it is.
Indiana's not a real place. You take that back.
It's in Climax, North Carolina. Which is also,
it's also
a real
in
place.
Hell, Michigan. Also yes. A real place.
That is a real place, yes.
Yeah.
That's entirely accurate.
Okay, anyway, enough picking on places. We gotta get through standard here.
Screw South Carolina, moving on.
Even though North Carolina is clearly the worst one now, still screw those people.
They're below us.
Anyway, so Dylan Donegan won the, standard open, piloting the Jeskai Saheeli deck. So what's going on in his deck? He's running Gear Hulks and Nahiri, along with the Crazy Cat Lady combo, and the rest is just control.
Yeah.
Which I get the feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of.
Could be.
Jeffrey Ashken came in second with the four-color Saheeli deck. Which... Right, stop that. We've got an Ajani and two Chandra Torch of Defiance in his deck. Oh, wow, and two Implement of Combustion. Really?
That's strange.
Huh.
Ooh, and Panharmonicon. Holy crap. This deck is tripping me out. Do what?
Why the Implement of Combustion? The card draw?
Draw a card and ping off a thing, I guess?
It only hits players.
Well, it only hits players, yeah.
Oh.
That's why Implement of Combustion is bad. It's like pay two mana, cycle, ping the opponent. I mean, I guess that's not the worst thing you could do, but it's just an odd inclusion, unless I'm missing something.
Well, if you had something that said pay two mana, draw a card, would you do it?
I mean, I've played pointless effects that cost one mana and draw me a card. Like, this is a four-color deck, and that's not pay two mana. That's pay one and a red.
I like red.
I mean, I also like red, but it's just a weird thing. I'm sure there's something. I can't believe that it's just there for card draw. That seems odd.
Yeah, but I'm not really seeing much that it interacts with.
It's not like blinking it does anything. They both involve it going to the graveyard.
Yeah.
Is it contributing to artifact count for something?
Maybe.
Yeah, but what cares about artifacts in this deck?
Well, that's what I mean. I'm trying to figure out what it's there for. I'm kind of stumped about this.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Maybe you just really needed a little bit more card draw, and that was the best choice?
I don't know.
I got nothing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. Oh, well. Okay. Well, if you know, then you've probably already tweeted at us, so thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
That was really helpful. Now I know. G.I. Joe.
Meow, 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 meow.
Catlady.deck.
Okay, let's see here. Moving on. So that's Dylan, that's Jeffrey. Okay, so third place was Brad Shepard. Wow, he's a local. Running Jeskai Saheeli. The looks not quite the same as Dylan's deck. This is running Oath of Chandra and Oath of Jace. And a couple other little things here and there that are different, but still the same basic idea. Luke Feeney in fourth place, aha, is running Jeskai Control. There is no Saheeli combo here. He's running Jace Noir, Torrential Gear Hulk, and the rest is hard control. Wow, there's even a Skywhaler shot in the main. Rot? Where's fifth place? Which of these is actually fifth place? Because they're both listed as sixth. I guess we'll never know. So in sixth place part one, we've got Black Green Delirium. Hey look, a different deck. A completely different deck. This is the Black Green deck that we talked about last week. That you're gonna be hearing about for a while. That involves, there's a Noxious Gear Hulk in here. That's pretty funny.
Do not breathe it.
Please don't. But it's running your Walking Ballista, Winding Constrictor, Rishkar, Verdurous Gear Hulk combo, not combo, but shell, let's say. Package. Aha! It's running the +1/+1 counter package there, and then the Grim Flayer and Mind Rack Demon and Traverse, you know, the Delirium package. And Nissa, Voice of Zendikar too, because, you know, she fits in with +1/+1 counter. Yeah. That was Maxwell, Pustian, I think is right. In sixth place part two, we have Charlie Murdoch running Jeskai Saheeli. Again, nothing much else to talk about there. In seventh place, Corey Lynch is running green-black aggro. So it's still got the +1/+1 counter package. And then things like Gifted Aetherborn. Wow. It's the flightless vampire, vampire Nighthawk. You guys are still there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
I mean, no.
And this is the one that's got the energy thing going on for unclear reasons. I guess the Glintsleeve Siphoner and the Servant of the Conduit and the Aether Hub are really all you need to spend energy on, so that makes sense. Hey look, Kalitas back in the main. Oh, you remember the days when he was all over the place and we got so sick of talking about him? Now I miss him.
But he's right there.
Yeah. It's just not the same. Hey look, Tireless Tracker too. You remember that card? I remember that card.
I don't think he left.
Yeah, it's true. And then in eighth place, Todd Anderson with, Black Green Delirium. Almost exactly the same deck as sixth place part one, who I assume is fifth place, but they're both listed as sixth, so the world may never know. So yeah, that's the top eight. You've got two different Saheeli combo decks and a control deck without it, and then two different green-black decks, and that's it. It's not really a two-deck format in the top eight. It just looks like it.
Yeah.
They're actually five different decks.
This is one of those circumstances where if you actually have an amazing new standard deck, you're waiting till next week.
Yeah, probably.
That is a fair point.
But then if you move down a bit, there's another Black Green Delirium, another four-color Saheeli, another Jeskai Saheeli, and then we have White-Red Humans in 12th.
Humans!
Humans!
Breath of fresh air.
Black-Red Zombos in 13th.
Zombocom?
You can do anything.
You can do anything with Zombocom.
Welcome to Zombocom.
With just all of the old internet things are coming out tonight.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're reliving a happier time.
Yeah, we really are. Teemer Eldrazi in 14th place. Huh.
Silly Eldrazi. You're supposed to be banned.
With Metallic Mimic, too, so... We saw that in a Chris Lansdell's article last week where he's like, wouldn't it be great if you could pump all of your stupid Eldrazi, what are they, Scions? Wouldn't that be awesome? And it turns out, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Go team.
Yeah, so you play Metallic Mimic and say Eldrazi and boom, goes the Dynamite or the Scions when they smash your opponent for two apiece. Let's see here. What else do we have? Lots more green black, lots more just got here is Esper aggro. What? Oh, it's the blue white aggro. Okay, yeah.
With the scrap heap?
Yep.
Yeah, that's misleading.
Oh, here's a blue black control. Yeah, okay, it's Obnixilis, Liliana, and Jace Noir. And then Torrential Gearhulk and Kalitas, and then the rest is Murder and Card Draw and Denial. Yep, okay. So yeah, there's a lot going on here, but it's just a small handful of a lot. And then Saheeli combo inside of some deck, and then the +1/+1 counter shell inside of some deck.
Yep.
That's what we've got going on in Standard for a moment. Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's not bad yet. Again, the Pro Tour is next week. This weekend.
The future.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll do something about that. I mean, the combo is... If you're trying to go off on, you know, turn 4 or 5, the combo is so easy to disrupt. Which is why so many of these decks are control decks, because you don't need to go off on turn 4 or 5. You need to go off when it's safe, and that's what a control deck does. It sits there and waits, and then it's like, okay, I can go now, and if they try to stop me, I can stop them, because I've got, you know, 15 mana, and I don't care.
Well, yeah, the nice thing about the deck itself is that if you've got the defenses up, you don't actually need to spend any money to start the combo. And by money, I mean mana. Cha-ching. But what... You can, you know, drop all the pieces and, you know, pass the turn with all of your control up. And then the next turn, you'll have that much more control. And then you can just go with all your lands untapped.
Pretty much. It's crazy how that works, isn't it?
You give them that one turn to look at it. Or if they're tapped out, you just go now and you win. Choices. Hmm.
So that... Is that Standard tournament? Let's go check the Classic. How many people were playing in the Classic?
Less.
Okay. I don't feel like fighting with my tabs.
94.
Okay. So let's see. That's definitely Modern. Here's Classic. Todd Stevens won with Black Green Delirium. Michael Finney in second with Jeskai Control. Diego Valdivia. That's what I'm going to call him, even if that's not right.
Valdivia.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. With Black Green Delirium. Oh crap, what did I click on? What just happened?
I don't know. What just happened? I can't see what you see.
Oh, Discord doesn't have screen sharing yet.
So. No dying.
What can I see?
So
with the glass shield down, can you see anything at all?
I can't see anything at all. Could somebody read the next couple while
Anthony
I figure out what just happened?
Anthony Masio in fourth with Green Black Aggro. Joshua Warsaw in fifth with Jeskai Control. Frank Skarn in sixth with Black Green Delirium.
Oh, here it is. Wow, I accidentally clicked on the ad for regionals.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
And in a
That's
new tab.
The fourth rule.
That was really weird. Okay, that was Frank Skarn, right? Okay.
Yep.
Matt, is that an M or an RN?
It's an M.
That's an M. Matt Tumovich in seventh with Green White Tokens. Hey, that's a deck that makes a lot of sense with the +1/+1 counter package, or at least with some of it.
Yeah.
Actually, with just a couple pieces, because there's no black for the snake.
Aw.
T. Scott Ross in 8th with Mardu Vehicles. Hey, look at that. Mardu Vehicles.
Vroom, vroom.
And then more tokens, Jeskai Saheeli. Hey, it's Rudy Brixa. Teamer Energy? Oh, okay, yeah. Pummeler, Bristling Hydra, Long Tusk Cub, that sort of thing. Yep. Green Black Aggro, Black Green Delirium, 4-color Saheeli, Black Green Delirium, Jeskai Saheeli. Yeah, those same like 4 and 5 decks are everywhere with just a couple others mixed in. So yeah, that's a thing. So, of course, the format is solved, right?
Well, do you think it's because people are using the same deck that they played with on Saturday?
Or because they saw those two decks do well on Saturday and just went.
Yeah, like either way, like they're living within the meta of that tournament and they've already seen what did well on day one, so.
Oh, you mean in the Classic specifically?
Yeah,
because
the Classic is on Sunday, right?
Yes.
So all the people that brought their Standard decks to Saturday, because we didn't have this situation last year where the Classic would be going in the same format as the main event. So.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's very possible they just played with the same decks again. Or if they brought multiple decks, they swapped the ones that were doing well against the field the day before.
Yeah, it could be.
But all of this is like tentative at best. We'll find out in a week what's really going on. And then like 4 or 5 weeks after that, we will find out what's banned and unbanned.
Right.
Pretty much. I'm really hoping that they don't have to like ban the Felidar Guardian just because.
That would be lame.
That would be lame. That would be super lame. Hopefully the meta can shift. But again, if you put it in a control build, it's just gonna win. But then again, maybe not, because all of these black-green decks are there.
It's a combo that I think, as the format solidifies a little bit, it will get not hated out, but probably hated down to the point where it's reasonable.
That's the hope.
We'll see.
All right, then. Well, moving on, let's go to Modern, because why not? Because there's no Legacy, so Modern. So, apparently, there were 140 people playing in this one. No comment. Christopher Calhoun won, playing Goryeo's Vengeance. Oh, look, Night's Whisper. God, I love that card. 2-mana sorcery, draw 2 cards and lose 2 life? Oh, sick. Sorry. When they printed that card, we were all like, what? Rick Paul in second, playing Burn.
Yes.
Look, it's the closest you can get to Legacy Burn.
Yeah.
Being in Legacy.
Still not as good as Legacy Burn.
Well, of course not.
Or no, you can play it on the weekends.
Oh, squee. Look, I can't reach this dagger that's in my back. Can you just pull it out for me, buddy?
I don't trust you with the dagger right now, buddy.
Dagger made him third place. Matthew Vuk is playing Jeskai Control, and I had to go look at it, but yeah, this is totally the modern deck.
Yep.
Emrakul, Nahiri, Snappy, Click, you know. And then a bunch of modern cards.
A bunch like of Ancestral modern Vision. Cards.
These are totally modern cards. These are not standard cards.
They're not legacy cards.
Mandated Karanos in the board and everything.
Oh, hey, look at that. I hear he's pretty good. Fourth place.
I've not heard tell he was a giant chicken.
You wear disguise, look like human guys, but you're not a man, you're just Karanos.
Huh? Happier times.
Yeah, I've been watching Animaniacs on the Netflix. And
hey, me too.
It's great.
So fourth place, Steven Borakov is running Naya Company with the Renegade Rallier, like you do.
Sounds like a good call.
Just one Rallier, though. Don't want to get too insane, apparently.
Don't want to
bust the bank on those uncommons.
Exactly. We have Evan Burnett in fifth, playing Jund. Hey, look, there's Kalitas. Okay, he's still around. Look at him. Oh, and Fatal Push has found its way into the removal suite in the Jund deck.
That sounds right.
Well, there's also a Lily, the Last Hope, and a Chandra, Torch of Defiance in the board. Huh.
I mean, it seems like Fatal Push would find its way into most black-capable modern decks, well, with its easy ability to, you know, chuck things in the graveyard.
I mean, you'd think so.
I'm a fetch. Oh, it's dead.
In sixth place, Jason Rowe is playing a white-red prison deck. Have you guys seen this? This looks painful.
I have not.
So it's running Simeon Spirit Guide and Wall of Omens.
Okay.
That never bodes well for people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the entire creature base, so that's a problem.
I mean, Spirit Guide's not a creature. You take that back.
Exactly. Three Ajani Vengeant. Because Angry Kitty. 2 Chandra, Torch of Defiance, and 1 Nahiri the Harbinger.
That is an angry bunch.
If you want to piss people off, Nahiri the Harbinger.
Harbinger!
And then it's running, oh god, here it goes. Chalice of the Void, Ensnaring Bridge, Blood Moon, Peace of Mind, Lightning Helix, Anger of the Gods.
Yeah.
Are
you sure this wasn't the event that had a fire breakout?
Let's see, moving on. Lyle Rolfs in seventh is running Jeskai Control. This one's interesting. It's got an Aven Mind Sensor, 2 Resto Angel, 3 Snapcaster, and 2 Vendiclix, and that's it. As far as creatures. I mean, they all work really well together, but it's just those few. And the rest is, you know, hard, heavy, punch you in the face control. Not punch you in the face control. Punch you in the deck control. where you sit there turn after turn going,
yeah.
And then in eighth place, Charles Liege. Liege? League? Liege? Charles L. is running Abs and Company. Again, got that one rallier in there because it's pretty good.
I mean, in this deck especially, yes.
So there you go. There's the top eight. The rest of the eight is Grixis Delver, Burn, Ad Nauseam, Scapeshift, Zoo, Affinity, Decepticons, Jund, and then Mono Blue Turns.
What?
With Snapcaster Mage and Barrel, Chief of Compliance, because I have to call him that. And then it's running a lot of card draw. Howling Mind, Dictative Crucifix, Temporal Mastery, Time Warp, Part the Water Veil. I can't tell if this is funny or miserable or both.
It's definitely miserable.
Definitely miserable. Yeah, I don't know about the funny part.
It feels like the kind of deck that you would make if you bought someone else's collection and it had a bunch of take an extra turn cards, and you just decided, well, if I take every turn, I'll win, because as it turns out, that is how it works.
Wow. Check out the Zoo deck in 13th place.
Zoo!
So it's running Burning Tree Emissary, okay, Experiment 1, right? Goblin Guide, Curd Ape, Reckless, that just hit puberty, Reckless Bookwhacker, Tarmogoyf, Wild Nacodle, and then Narnum Renegade.
Yep.
Because it's a 2-3 for 1, much like the Turd Ape. And it has Death Touch.
Which matters.
So it can kill the big-ass Goyf across the board or whatever.
He kills one Goyf and makes another Goyf bigger, but then that Goyf will also die to a Renegade.
I think it needs Monastery Swift Spear.
No, I don't think that's what it wants.
And yeah, Eidolon of the Great Revel, and then we should just get rid of some of these colors. Crap, I'm making Burn again. I'm sorry.
I don't believe for a minute that you're sorry, Clues.
No, you're right. I'm not sorry at all. Make more Burn!
To be fair, there are two Burn decks in the top 16 of this modern event.
Yes, this is true.
And in this modern event, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we'll call Naya Company and Abzan Company close enough to the same thing.
Company.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different decks. 13 if the two company decks are actually different enough. In the top 16, and two of them are Burn.
Good job, Modern.
So yeah, that's pretty impressive. It is good to see that at least in the limited, pool that we've seen since the, banned and restricted list update, that, Modern is very diverse, at least in these two moderately sized tournaments that we've seen. So that's pretty neat. Okay, that's all of that. So there you go. Now let's go to some shiny new cards. We have F&M promo updates. So, of course, January's is almost over, and it's the Noose Constrictor.
We're out of Fridays, so too bad.
Yeah, the snake wrapped up like a noose. It's pretty cool. But you don't get that anymore. So now you're going to get Fortune's Favor with the Sphinx playing Pick a Hand, even though you can clearly see through his fingers.
Yeah, it's Morpheus Sphinx.
He's not real bright.
He's giving you the red or the blue.
March is Incendiary Flow.
That's unfortunate.
And then we get the new one. So in April is Servo Exhibition.
Tokens.
Yay. And then they start to actually get good. In May, it's Unlicensed Disintegration.
That is a brutal card.
That's pretty good. And then in June, because we apparently get these way far in advance now, we get Aether Hub. What?
That's going to be one you want to win. You'll get use out of it, and it will probably find a use in other types of decks in the future, even after Standard.
So yeah, it's pretty good. When is that again?
In June.
Right. Okay.
And while you were waiting through Amonkhet.
Oh yeah. And then one more bit of news here. The Standard series between February 13th and April 16th, stores will be running a series of fun Standard tournaments with some cool prizes. At participating stores. I'm just reading this straight off of the daily update from the 25th. If you play in 6 Standard events during this window of time, you can receive a special land promo from a Standard legal set. And it's showing Cinderglade, Prayer Stream, Canopy Vista, and the other two. Their names aren't showing and I don't know their names. Oh wait, Sunken Hollow and Smoldering Marsh.
There you go.
It's below it.
It is. You didn't
It's using the normal frame, but the Masterpiece Series art.
Which is neat.
That is neat. Additionally, participating stores will receive 3 exclusive playmats featuring Amon Ket art that they can use to reward players for sportsmanship, helping new players, innovative deck building, or other positive effects on the store and community. Any standard event run during this period, including casual events, Friday Night Magic, and PPTQs, will count toward your 6 events. So be sure to check with your local store of choice to find out if they're doing this. Cause that's awesome.
Pretty nice.
Oh, this is the same daily update that had, Lansdale's Standard Brew Blitz article.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He was very happy about that. I was amazed that that was the first time he'd been in the update.
You guys remember when we were in the update?
I do. It was cool.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything interesting since then, so that's probably why.
I don't blame him. Our last episode was really long. Awesome, though.
It was awesome. All right, then. Well, that's actually it as far as news. There is a thing in fluff here that Bill put here. I don't know if he put it here for us or for us to talk about it on the show, but now we're talking about it on the show.
I find it funny.
It is pretty funny. Why don't you tell us about it?
All right, so if you've been listening for a while or you just go to Twitter often, Robo Rosewater is essentially a very weak attempt at artificial intelligence. It's just sort of a learning program that generates magic cards after being fed all of existing magic cards. And then over time, I guess, you know, some system is telling it this is a better design than that one. And eventually it's got to the point where sometimes it generates cards that actually do something. And among those, once in a great while, it actually generates something that's pretty amazing. But it'll often create absolutely hilarious names, which when they line up with the cards are a lot of fun. And in the case of this one, I'm going to tell you what it does first. So it's white for an instant, destroy target non-elemental creature. It can't be regenerated. Now that's pretty good.
That's moderately insane.
Yeah, that is a very focused Wrath of God on that guy, unless he's an elemental. Changelings will laugh at you, whatever. But what would you call that effect? Stop! S-T-A-P. Stop!
Stop! Oh, that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's a fun example. It's probably my favorite Robo Rosewater card since the time that they created that cat that eats birds. Pretty awesome.
That one was pretty good.
So it's just included here for funnies. If you go on Twitter and look up Robo Rosewater, a bajillion people follow it now, and a new card is posted every day. So neat.
Yeah. All right then. So that's all of the, like, for real magic news. How about some digital magic news?
Sure. So there's not going to be a whole lot here because, as I mentioned last week, and I guess as a reminder, Magic News usually goes up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And as a result, most of the stuff that you'll actually find in the link about Magic Online announcements is a week old and for events that have already happened. But I will note that last week they announced that they were just going to go ahead and drop the new set, just like right there. Aether Revolt went straight on. There was no pre-release. There was no, you know, building it out and, like, you know, chilling with it for a while. It just straight up popped in Magic Online last week. So it launched on the 25th of January and has been running since then. Whenever Magic Online gets a new set from Standard, it pretty much stops doing all of the side events for a little bit. So like it didn't do any more of the flashback favorites. We're not going to get any more of those till later in February when they do a Standard Gauntlet, which will probably be related to the Pro Tour. It tends to be how that works, but we'll talk about that as we get closer to it. But yeah, like the new set's on there. It's up. They've included so just as a reminder, Magic Online is this really complicated computer program that we talked about at length last week about things that could be done with digital magic and all that. But one of the things that will always come up when you talk about Magic Online long enough is the fact that it doesn't always work the way it's supposed to. And you can find out how it's not working the way it's supposed to by checking the Magic Online bug blog, which comes out more or less every 2 weeks on a Thursday. And they posted one last week, which of course is going to have some issues because a brand new set came out. So you have a bunch of new cards. and they're interesting ways of interacting with existing cards and one another. So I'll just give you the brief rundown on these because there aren't that many of them. So first up, Aether Revolt Masterpieces, you know, those weird, fancy, in paper, really expensive. I have no idea if they're worth that much online. Alternate frame cards from other sets. It includes the card Wurmcoil Engine. And apparently when Wurmcoil Engine Masterpiece card creates the two Wurmcoil tokens, they're displaying with the wrong art. I don't have a note here of what art is appearing, so I'm going to assume that one of them spawns with a picture of Squee, and the other one is going to spawn with a picture of Clues, which is really creepy. Moving on. Ethereum cells that are created by Tezzeret the Schemer, as in like the most recent one, they don't indicate if they entered the battlefield this turn. Normally you can tell in Magic Online when something is brand new. Usually that's done for the sake of knowing about Summon Sickness, but in general it tries to tell you what happened this turn. It's not really flagging that. Here's a weird one. Changing the target of an attacking creature to or from a planeswalker will cause the creature to move to a back position. It's a display issue only, but if you've ever decided that you want this creature to go to the back, go ahead and attack that planeswalker. That's clearly the way you want to do that.
Totally, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're playing Versus, putting a card in the back matters, because that's how you reinforce stuff. But if you're playing Versus, you're also living in 2005, so enjoy it. Don't buy a house. And finally, players cannot cast spells with X in the casting cost exiled by the triggered ability of Gonti, Lord of Luxury, when using colors of mana not present in the spell's normal casting cost. That's just weird coding. I guess just be aware of that. It's a weird one. They've fixed some cards. They've updated the collection settings so that it no longer displays a banned card as being available in the respective formats for, you know, Modern, Legacy, Commander, whatever. So they've updated that. Past that, if you scroll down in the bug blog, you get a list of all the things that are currently known to be bad and a list of the things recently fixed. So that's good to keep up with. In general, when I mentioned this whenever we go over these, if you see something on here that is not working as intended, and they know it's not working as intended, but whatever it is gives you an advantage if you do it, and then you go and do it, that's cheating and you get in a lot of trouble, so don't. It really benefits you to look at what's a known problem so that you don't get accused of cheating later and have to try to defend not knowing. Likewise, if you're playing a game and one of these glitches like causes you to lose it in just like a weird way, you can usually put in a request for like reimbursement for whatever the cost of that event was. And like they aren't required to give you a refund, but generally speaking, they do. Like they want to keep you happy because if, as long as you're happy, you are spending real money for digital objects, which they have forever because Magic Online generates money. So don't hesitate to report bugs if you find them. Don't hesitate to request refunds if you are the losing end of one. And absolutely hesitate, and in fact, just don't take advantage of any of this, because you will get in trouble for cheating. And there are consequences.
See also Wheaton's Law.
Yeah, which applies to all of the internet. So, and that's really about all that's going on in Magic Online. Like I said, they're not going to be doing more flashback stuff till the end of February, so sit back and enjoy the new set. And if you've played with Wurmcoil Engine and the wrong art's appearing, tell me on Twitter what it is, because I really hope it's a picture of Clues. Later, when we receive all the Photoshops, I'm sorry, Clues.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the Lifelink or the Death Touch one?
Lifelink.
That's fair, because if I'm the other one, then I should probably be the Death Touch one. It just makes sense.
Yeah, right?
All right, so that's it for Magic News. Let's go home. All right, good job.
I was going to say, I am home.
Yeah, we all live in this podcast now. Do you guys want to do signouts, or is there some other stuff going on?
I mean, I don't have anything else really to talk about other than my usual 45-minute outro, so.
Oh, cool. All right, then. Well, then I will go and turn my comically large hourglass over so that I can keep track. And past that, you can find me on Twitter at SweetGoblinNabob. There is no I in Goblin because it's probably playing Overwatch right now, and it's probably having the same luck I am at getting legendary skins I want. Not that I'm borrowing some of Clue's salt for this. And
there's plenty to go around.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And past that, I am picking which conventions I'm going to this year, so I'll share that news with you guys in the future in case you go to these conventions. I know some people who listen to the show do go, and it's fun to hang out with them. So Likewise, if you listen and you're going to go to any cons in the region of North Carolina, let me know on Twitter and it'll be awesome. Past that, yeah, that's about it for me. Go Clues.
Okay, hey, if you want to hear more out of me, you can find me on the once again recording and posting both of those things. I know, Random Discard podcast right here on the MTGcast Network, where we put up not one but two shows last week. Recording for this week was delayed because we got a super special guest who couldn't make it this week, so we're postponing until next week. But
sorry about that, by the way. I'll try to be available.
Yeah, it's totally not Chewy this time.
It's totally not me.
Not this time. We are recording a show talking all about board games. So if you've got board games that you love, that you hate, that you love to hate, hey, please get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts. And, we'll be talking about all those next week.
Dude. That ties into what one of the things I was going to talk about in the Left 4 Dead video that I just posted.
Uh-huh.
Bill was trying real hard to make settlers jokes, and no one was biting.
Okay,
I already forgot.
Well, I assume it was settlers. You were there was wood, and you were like, "Oh, have you got sheep?
Yeah, that would be a settlers joke."
Yeah, that's what I thought. And nobody bit. And I was the editing. I'm like, surely one of us said it. Nope. Not a one, because we were all busy being afraid of dying to zombie bites.
Well, you know, that's actually fair. But yeah, get a hold of us, at Random Discard on the Twitters, or, let's see now it is, randomdiscardcast@gmail.com if you have something long to say, to let us know. Otherwise, you can reach me directly. I am at @LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. So take it away there, Chewy.
Yay! So, as you know, I do this YouTube thing.
You do?
You might not know, but the rest of you probably are sick of hearing me talk about it.
Is that like Vimeo?
So you. I'm just going to pretend you didn't say that. So, I mentioned last week that I had played the Resident Evil 7 teaser, Beginning Hour, and I got the bad ending. So I played it again, and I may or may not have pooped a little. But that video is up now. I found the monster. There's a monster, and I found it. And it was not pleasant. Other than that, I've been posting more of the Left 4 Dead No Mercy campaign that myself and Bill and my buddy Scott did, the last episode of which went up today. It will be public tomorrow night, Tuesday night, if you're listening to this at some point other than Monday, which you'd have to be because we're not going to be done recording it until Monday. Tuesday? You meant what I knew. I'm tired. Shut up. But I did start another game. So after I got done playing for the second video of, Beginning Hour, I was essentially a large ginger goosebump. Like, it creeped me out, and I needed to play a game to cleanse my palate, such as it is. So I started up this game called Happy Room. And I'm fairly certain Happy Room is my new favorite game. So, to clear my mind after playing an incredibly ambient and creepy, well-made horror game, I played a game where the object is to torture a dummy in new and creative ways to deal more damage so that you can unlock new ways to torture him and new ways to deal more damage. I think I said in the video, it's sort of like playing an MMO just without all the misery. So yeah, your little dummy hangs there and you design a room around dealing as much damage to him as you can. And it's gruesome and blood splatters everywhere, but it's cartoony and doesn't matter. And it's a lot of fun and it really shows you what a sick, sick person you are. And I've had several people who are like, this is awesome. Should I feel bad about that? And the answer is no. No, be proud of who you are, even if you are a sick and twisted individual. See, it's called Happy Room. And I think the next time that I play Beginning Hour, I will probably record another Happy Room video immediately afterwards again.
Huh. Does it make you happy?
So, yeah, it does. I just kept recording. Like, my raw footage was something like 50 minutes long because I just didn't want to stop. So, yeah, that's a lot of fun. And I have plenty more coming. I think, hopefully, tomorrow I'll be recording some Dungeons & Dragons Chronicles of Mystara with Rob from the Retro League. I actually just sent him a message a minute ago while Bill was doing Magic Online, asking him when we were going to do that.
A good game.
Yeah. I've played Tower of Doom, but I've never played the other one. The more intense, more RPG one. So
the more better game. But they're both great.
The more better one. Yeah. So that's fun. And of course, there's all that other stuff I'm already doing. Shovel Knight, Rogue Legacy, Cluster Truck I've got to do more of. I've recently been getting more requests for Dark Echo, which I've sort of forgotten about. Oh, the last Octodad Dadliest Catch video from the multiplayer game stream that Mike and I did is up. It's not the end of the game, but it's the as far as we played. I've got to get Mike over here sometime in the near future to finish that game up so we can put the rest on YouTube because it's awesome. And of course, that's YouTube, youtube.com/c/themanapool. And of course, over on Twitch, I've been streaming Hearthstone. No, it hasn't been. It's been Overwatch.
Yeah.
Because Bill is a bad person and got me into it.
I believe you asked me.
Asked you what?
You asked me to find some time to show you Overwatch.
Well, yeah, because you told me I've been playing it and it's awesome. And I'm like, oh, damn it. I've already got that. I should probably help.
And now we'll never sleep again.
And now we'll never sleep again, yeah. So anytime that the stream fires up, chances are Overwatch will be played eventually.
At least until the Chinese New Year thing is over.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine by the end of that I'll be tired and not want to play it for a month.
The new event started and so we've been playing it pretty hard. Bill especially.
Yeah.
Because Bill sucks at getting the new awesome skins.
Yep, just like that eye.
Don't worry, eventually Brian, co-host on the Manipool, started opening mythics at pre-releases. So eventually you'll start getting legendary skins out of loot boxes. Don't worry. You know, eventually. You did get one of them, so
I did.
Shut up.
I got the one with the glitch booty. Ask your parents. They don't know. I just want you to ask them to be funny.
But anyway, other than that, you can... Oh, the Twitch channel is twitch.tv/themanipool. Tuesday night Hearthstone is still on for tomorrow night unless I have a date, which is doubtful. So pretty sure that Tuesday night Hearthstone is on and I'll play Hearthstone for 2 or 3 hours. And at that point, probably Bill will come online and we'll switch over to Overwatch. Or it might just be Tuesday night Overwatch like last week's was.
Well, I assure you, I won't be there until later in the night, so that's going to be up to you.
Oh, so maybe I will start with Hearthstone.
Entirely up to you.
So, yeah, if that sounds interesting at all, then please do come check it out. It's twitch.tv/themanipool. Yay. And, of course, anywhere on the internet where I am, it's The Manipool. So if you go to themanipool.com, that's the Manipool website, home of the podcast. youtube.com/c/themanipool. That's the YouTube channel. Twitter @TheManipool. Facebook.com/TheManipool. There's even a The Manipool Steam group. In case any of you out there would like to find someone to play games with or whatnot, go check out the Steam group. It's been around for damn near a decade now, it turns out. I think it was made in the second or third year of the show. And the show is turning 10 at the end of this year. So, but I've recently... I didn't create it, but I was recently given admin control and revamped it, and I keep forgetting about it. So now, here you go. Go to Steam. If you're on Steam, go to the groups and search for The Manipool. I don't know how you find it, but there you go. Yeah. Just a place for you to go and, like I said, find other people to play games with in case you want to form up a crew to play, I don't know, the ship or something, something multiplayer. Or if you just want to hang out and talk to people, go check it out. And if you would like to send me an email, send it to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, @themanipool.com, or @mtgcast.com, whatever, they go to the same place. Yay. So I think that was long enough. Right, Clues?
Yeah, it seemed to kind of short squee. Have you checked that timer? Is it out yet?
I hate you guys.
You see, it's doing that weird thing where the sand is actually stuck.
Oh,
so
I
think
that.
You actually stopped time. We could have been here for days.
And we have been. So,
oh, I missed work. Well, time to play Overwatch.
We're So we're going to be done now. This has been Monday Night Magic number 546. And thank you, as always, to Clues and Squee.
But of course.
For putting up with it. Bill does not care. Nope. He's already playing Overwatch.
He is playing Overwatch.
No, I was trying to figure out what you just said. I thought you said, like, Barfalophagus. I'm like, what is that?
I said, but of course. But Barfalophagus is perfectly appropriate as well, I feel.
I was really confused. I'm like, is this some kind of commentary on Sesame Street going to HBO? I don't know what's happening. All right. Well, yeah. You guys have a nice week.
And you see Cookie Monster running up and screaming, hold the door. I don't know what that means because I've never actually watched Game of Thrones, but apparently that makes people sad.
Need Cookie.
sometimes food. No, that's – never mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right then. So we're going to be done. So thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.